1-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way, because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wake up in the morning feeling like
Waterman is extremely well. She's very slippery.
You don't own me.
Okay, now the tough question.
Is this a try? Yes or no?
Just because I'm a woman.
All right, we've got to do the intro. Can you remember what you meant to say?
Hi, I'm Nolly Waterman.
It's taken 14 podcasts.
You're welcome. What's your name?
Laura Jane Jones. You are listening to
The Tryhards Podcast.
Coming up on this week's podcast.
Your mother's piece.
Grow up. Nolly at the Champions Cup final.
Playoffs.
And we reveal where a very special Tryhards podcast will be recorded next week.
Bah.
Welcome back, friends.
Heidi, hi, campers.
We had a little week off and we are back with a bang.
I put that on my Twitter. I don't think we are, but hey.
No, you're hungover.
Keeping people interested.
We are at a new location this week. We are recording this in Sam Waterman's dining room. Big thanks to Sam for hosting us.
Yeah, indeed. That took him about 15 years to renovate. Caused a few family feuds on the way. But it's actually quite nice, actually, isn't it?
I can only imagine that the family feuds were about the stuff that you've kept here in Sam's house for that duration of time that got delivered to yours recently. You've then been trying to palm off on me. Just for the record, everyone, I don't want the canvas with the elephant on it. So if she tries to offer that to you, or if you get gifted that, it's a re-gift.
How many times have you been given a present and then you've given it as a present?
Never.
Haven't you?
No.
You know, actually, because I've been to your house and it's like, I actually think you could have one of those hoarder shows on your
100%.
I feel like we need to do a video cast from your house at some point, and we could have poll. I might take pictures and say stay or go, and people get to decide.
Absolutely not.
How to get rid of things.
I sometimes think I've got like a phobia about throwing things away as well.
It's all called hoarder syndrome.
Yeah, right.
Anyway,
psychologist,
should we
move on? Now, you. Well, actually, seeing as we're in Sam's house, he's going to get my Must Try Harder nomination this week.
Why?
Well, Joe Waterman has just made us a delicious breakfast.
Was good.
10 out of 10 for the mushrooms. Yum.
Awful food.
And it transpired that Sam keeps his ketchup in the fridge.
Yeah, terrible decision.
It's absolutely vile.
Awful. And it wasn't even open, was it? It's not even like...
Who comes home from the supermarket, takes the ketchup out their bag for life and sticks it in the fridge?
Well, as my brother's friend Dave... Well, he's my mate as well, Dave.
She's had to say that. He's in the next room.
Yeah, shout out to Dave Webber, tallest person I know. Actually, Jim... He's not as tall as Jim Hamilton. But anyway, he was smaller than most of the borrowers at the bar last night. He said it was to keep it fresh. But you can't keep it fresh if it's not open.
It's also like 99% sugar.
It's banned in France in schools. Did you know that?
Yeah, I actually don't believe that. I'm going to put that to the people to tell us. Much like the thin twin skulls. I reckon there'll be a backlash.
Anyway, should we move on to Try Hard of the Week?
Yeah, have you got a nomination for me?
I think, to be honest, everybody on social media will know that this person has tried really hard for the past 4 days.
I like to watch everybody's Insta stories. I'm a real enthusiast for that.
Slash stalker.
Love to know what's going on in people's lives. I have to say I've been skipping this person's because wow. It's been a lot of it.
There has, but it's all for an amazing cause. Brian Habana is my legend. Try-hard of the week. He has done 100 kilometres with 100 people over 4 days, and it's all raising money for Laureus, who we're both ambassadors for.
Awesome charity.
Yeah, so he got collared in by Brian O'Driscoll, who I didn't realise, but did it with his sisters, which is quite cool.
That's sweet.
Saw that on the old Instaweb yesterday. Anyway, they've been raising loads of money, and... yeah, Brian has been updating everybody on every
like
step
every
of
kilometre,
the way.
Yeah.
But absolute tryhard. He did no work or preparation for it. And I asked him over message, how's it all gone? Like, you've done an amazing job. And he said, feet are sore, chafe is worse.
Horrendous. I did a marathon a few years ago and didn't do any training for it. And the only thing I can compare it to is, you know, when you were a kid, you probably didn't have Barbie dolls because you were too busy shooting at your brothers with air rifles. But... used to snap Barbie's legs off and stick them back on, and that's what I felt like. I felt like someone pulled my legs out of the hips and just not quite got the ball and socket in properly afterwards.
It's a really weird analogy.
I'm quite visual with pain though. When I've got
because you got the world's biggest eyeballs.
Thanks. If I've got a hangover, I always feel like I can imagine that my brain is like, it's like a friction between my brain and my skull, that like there's no like liquid around it. Do you get that?
No.
All right, okay, never
mind.
No,
anyway, should we move on to anything other than
you're
us talking about complete rambling rubbish?
You're talking about Habs. So, natural thing is, you were with him whilst I was away. He looked after you in the absence of fellow tryhard. You were up at the Champions Cup final.
I was indeed in Newcastle. So after doing the semi-final with Channel 4, and I was pitch side with crazy Gareth Thomas, or Alfie to his friends, which... I'm going to put myself in there now.
Really? Even though he Lee didn't McKenzie. Reply to your WhatsApp, but replied to mine.
All right. Eggie. All right. Cheers. Lee McKenzie, Jamie Heaslip, IO, whole group of them. Anyway, amazing time in the semis. And I just thought, like, what an opportunity potentially if I get to be asked for the final. But, you know, we'll see. Had an email through saying, yeah, we'd like to work with you. And then... so I was like, oh, amazing. Right, I can't be too nervous. I've done it all in the semi-final. I'll be pitch side with Ed Jackson as well.
Yeah.
And then I get an email from Gethin, who's the producer, on the Tuesday. And said, you're going to be co-commentary. Not being funny, but that's quite a lot of pressure there. But it honestly, I would, like, proper went into panic mode. Like, what? Oh, God. Like, what's happened has... Like, are they joking? Is this all good fun, but actually not going to happen?
April Fool's.
Yeah, and then we had a catch up, and obviously went through the show and that type of thing, and he was being deadly serious.
Did you enjoy it?
I loved it, and I was really lucky. I worked with Miles Harrison, and he is one of the coolest, calmest, most... wow, he's just like
he's a real gentleman. I've been
all
lucky,
knowledge rugby wise, and when he talks, you listen. And
he's a lovely person as well. I've been lucky to work with Miles for about a decade now, and he is just one of the like nicest men that you'll meet.
Oh, absolutely!
Big shout
amazing.
Out to Miles, whose cricket season
you
probably
you
started.
You don't need to wave your hand in the air; you can't see you.
Soz, as my catching hand. Miles is a keen cricketer. Did you know that? Did he tell you about that?
He did. Yeah, we were talking. We had a really cool conversation on the way back on the train. I was asking about his career and what he was up to and the sports and stuff like that. And I actually said to him, if he could choose a sport or could choose something to do, what would it be? And he was saying that he loves working in cricket, but it's his hobby and his passion. And if he worked in it, obviously it takes the edge away a little
massively.
Bit.
Yeah, massively.
But yeah, so he was lead commentator. Jamie Heaslip was second voice and I was third, and I loved it. But I got to have a long chat with Miles before we went on air. Jamie was pitch side and I went up and I got my notes sorted and it was all color coordinated and lots of different bits and pieces, and he just said, look, you've got to enjoy it, you've got to relax. And he was dead right in terms of everyone always wants you to come across really relaxed, but when everything you're saying is going out live on TV to over a million people, you kind of get a little bit nervous. Yeah, really, really enjoyed it. Loved the occasion.
How do you think Jamie found it? So I know that you and I have had conversations about you covering England Six Nations matches now that you're not involved and you're retired. Jamie scored a try in Leinster's first ever Heineken Cup victory in 2009 at Murrayfield and was a massive stalwart of their success in those first few years. They won, what, 3 titles in 4 years.
All right, Stato. Go on. Any more? Go on. Drop.
But he obviously... You're such an idiot. Don't be jealous, mate.
I'm not jealous.
You are jealous. I love the European Cup final. To me, it's the most special day.
Did you say to me earlier?
How many stars have you got, mate? Yeah, because I knew it was your first one. I just wanted to be able to say that I've done 7. Sorry
about
me.
To be fair, it is impressive. When you say you've done 7, making tea doesn't count, mate.
anybody who listens to this who's worked in a production environment will scoff at that because I never make tea. I'm the worst person for that. In fact, I probably didn't drink a hot drink on an OB for about 8 years just so that I didn't have to make one.
Oh, there's teamwork for you. Yeah. That's a good spirit.
There's no I in team, but there's a you in. Anyway, moving
on. And there's a me. amazing occasion and huge shout out to Channel 4 for having a female voice, actually, because yeah. I'm pretty sure there haven't been a female commentator on a game like that.
No,
on
I can't.
On a Champions Cup final before. So yeah, really, really big shout out. And also, I love the occasion and Newcastle rocked.
Do you have a couple of Nuki Browns afterwards? So you ended up in a kebab shop with Io. So, so I'm interested to hear what you had.
The boys had the driest chicken and chips wrap I've ever come across. Nice. Had a bit of a discussion about, do you have chips and gravy or do you put cheese on them? Definitely don't put the cheese on them.
I'd go chips, cheese and coleslaw, chips, gravy and cheese. I'm not against cheese in that environment.
But yeah, it was a good night out with a good group of people.
I was in Canada whilst you were there. I had an absolute nightmare journey over there. Got delayed. Thanks, British Airways.
Oh yeah. What did they do on the way home?
I got upgraded to business.
You did?
Oh, it was so good. I sat down at my dinner, which they bring out like course by course. And then made my bed flat and I thought, if I get 2-3 hours sleep here, happy days. They had to wake me up for breakfast 7 hours later. Dream shift.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Which is good because I've watched every film on BA now. Because I've flown.
Right.
Oh, no, because I've flown.
Jet set up.
I wish I hadn't. I've got nothing left to watch. I've watched everything.
Have you
watched
all the documentaries, TV shows, those 30-minute bad boys?
Wait, I've nailed everything. I watched the Billy Connolly Made in Glasgow. Made in Glasgow. Which, after we saw Billy in Hong Kong, sorry about us, made me even more upset about how poorly he is. So, cried.
So, there was, to be fair, I had a bit of a proud moment when you were over there.
Did you?
New Zealand have qualified for the Olympics.
Yeah.
Congratulations. So, yeah, well done, New Zealand.
To Gossie and the girls.
Yeah. Well, no, she's not Gossie, is she?
Sarah Hirani.
Hirani.
She'll always be Gossie to me.
All right. Are you Bezzies, how are you?
Yeah, I love
you. Gossie. Did come home and started talking about, oh yeah, Gossie said this. Way.
I do. Do you know what? I love Sarah Goss. She is one of my favourite people on tour. She's just a good girl.
Yeah, no,
she's just a good egg.
All right, Kino. I'm at the next tournament. We'll see what your friendship's actually like. I'll ask her.
Hey, don't be jealous. I can be friends with everyone.
I'm not. I am 100% not jealous. If someone
doesn't
takes,
sound it, does it?
If
doesn't
someone takes
it.
You out of my hands and has to look at your eyeballs like I do,
I'm worried about how you're going to cope with all the girls wanting to be my friend when we're in Beer Ritz, and you're going to be like,
"Well, I'll be in a professional woad." So
professional woad. Oh yeah, all right then. Can't wait to see you in professional.
Anyway,
woad.
I'm going to be nice to you on the pod for everybody to hear. I have to build up to this. I mean, it did go viral over social media and lots of people said well done, but well done for your piece on mums.
Thank
your
you.
Your mum's piece.
My mum's piece. Everyone got to see my mum's piece last week.
Unbelievable. I was really lucky. I had a bit of a preview and in LJ's flat last couple of weeks ago, which wasn't the finished bit, but it was good. And I actually had to hold back a little bit of emotion. Obviously, I'm not going to tell you that, but I am now. Incredible.
I actually feel like a bit of an idiot, people telling me well done, because I've just put it together, the women who were at the heart of it. So we had Niall Williams, who's one of the Black Ferns, and we had Joe Montgomery, who is the Irish physio, and Amy Perrett, the referee. And the three of them talked about their experiences of being mothers and involved on the Sevens tour. And they're not the only mothers on tour. There are others around the series, but those
like
three.
Tesco's, there are other. There are
others available. Yeah, I don't want anyone to get upset that they weren't included. No, but
to be honest, I know that there's a lot of people that go into work like that. So like getting it filmed, you know, the producing, getting it supported, that type of stuff. But fair play to you, because you got some unbelievable emotion in there, like in terms of how the girls opened up. And I think that was, anyone that hasn't seen it yet, go onto the social media. It'll be, I think it's
on the World Rugby Twitter, it's on YouTube, it's on Instagram, it's on IGTV, it's Facebook, so it's everywhere, so you can't escape it.
Yeah, that's enough goodness from me to you. It has emphasized how much I think want to meet Niall Williams's daughters. I think in particular the younger one.
Oh yeah, she's clean off, isn't she?
Absolute little monkey. And I think they're just brilliant. But the stories.
Do you know what Niall?
Niall
and I were chatting about the girls.
Oh, sorry about that.
And she was saying how, so the little one's a redhead, and she said she's a redhead in and out. She's like full of rage, and it made me lol a bit. And then she put on her, since she's been home from Canada, she took the girls to like an arcade yesterday. And the little one lost air hockey, and just the absolute evil eyes that she's given her. And then they're in this arcade they were in. I've got to find an arcade like this. They had an arcade beer pong game.
What?
I know.
Are you joking?
No.
How
questionable
does that
for kids, but yeah. Like you're throwing into cups, like throwing a ping pong ball into beer pong cups.
That's good. Current.
Current, yeah.
Training them young in New Zealand.
To be honest, you don't want to go into that cold at like 18, 19. That's a risky shift. I was going to say talking about virality, because your most popular tweet ever, I think, even more popular than announcing your retirement from the international game.
After 15 years of
service. 15 years of service. 10 of those injured. What happened at Waterloo? Not the battle.
One of the funniest things I think I've honestly seen in a long time, apart from your eyes. So some dude was getting on the escalator at Waterloo, and his lace was undone. I thought, it's a bit dodgy at the top of a escalator. So I tapped him on the shoulder. I said, oh, mate, your lace is undone. And he genuinely like ushered me away and like rolled his eyes.
And I think like, you're understating him ushering you away.
Yeah, no, he basically, like, honestly, I was like, I had a bit of an inner thought where I could have pushed him down the escalator. I didn't need to, because got to the bottom, somehow he tripped and landed on his knees off the escalator. And I've never laughed in public at somebody's failings so loud.
Karmic energy, that is, isn't it?
Yeah. And I just had to share it with the Twitterville. And unbelievably popular. Honest to God, it was
any
so
big names
funny.
Like it?
Oh, Denise Lewis.
Bezzies.
What a nudge! And she started following me.
She's going to be really disappointed by the content of your tweets. didn't you want to tell me about some football fans as well?
Oh, yeah, no. So I go through stages on Twitter. Like some days I might tweet 50,000 tweets, and other days I won't tweet anything. But I saw a video that was posted.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So, David Jones tweeted...
Dave Jones, Sky Sports, Dave Jones.
Yeah. He tweeted like a video of one of the games. I actually couldn't even tell you who it is. It's a red and white striped team. Anyway, the lad gets pushed over the hoardings. Uh-huh. And I honestly can't believe what happened. I've watched it. I'm watching it currently. Like, this man, who has no teeth to start off with, kicks the player that's behind the hoardings and then goes mad, like screaming. Everyone's going mental because obviously he gets up and his teammate comes over and there's a bit of a like kind of kerfuffle. But there's a referee there. And I just tweeted saying, I hope him and those around him are banned from going to watch live sport.
But what can a referee do in that situation? A referee can't do anything to those fans, can't send them off.
I don't know. I suppose no, because they'd send a coach.
They could send a coach the back of the stands.
I don't know, but I just think I honestly completely shocked. It was disgusting behaviour, and I can't get over why anybody. I've been to live football games, and people go mad, and they don't watch the football. They watch. No. They're shouting at the opposition, but to kick a player, it's just beyond. So yeah, please, anybody that knows. Oh, gummy bear, get him away from sport. He doesn't deserve to be there.
It is absolutely despicable, and I'm not questioning that. But I do think sometimes in rugby, we get on our high horse a little bit about like the standard of our fans compared to football. A friend of mine, Stuart Coles, Colesy, tells...
Oh, Stewie boy.
Stewie boy tells a great story about playing against Llanelli back in the day at the old Stradley Park, and the hooker going into the crowd to retrieve the ball for a line out, and an old deer throwing a cup of hot tea in his face. But the woman was like 80 years old. I just absolutely love it. It just makes me laugh so much.
30 degree burns.
Yeah, like, wow. And obviously timed it so well, tipped out of her thermos, and then he comes over to get the ball, and she literally just swills him with boiling hot tea. No milk in it either, so it's even hotter.
Tea bag straight in the eyeball.
I'm not sure that's what tea bag is, Nolly.
Anyway,
you're confused there. Didn't you have another tweet you wanted to tell me about as well?
Oh yeah, no. So I obviously the men's. We haven't talked about any rugby, but the men's game.
Who cares?
Has finished this weekend. Shout out to Saints getting in top four. Wow.
Yeah. I did Exeter Saints yesterday. It was mental game. Clean off.
Can't speak, but I also have watched no rugby this weekend.
Wow. How are you coping?
I will watch. I'm okay at the moment because I'm slightly tired. Mm-hmm. But I will, I'm sure, catch up tonight/tomorrow on all the highlights and stuff like that. But yeah, unbelievable. And what I think is really, it's fascinating when you see leagues finish, like how players are on social media and how they kind of say thank you to the fans and they'll kind of sum up their feelings of the season. So like Danny Kerr put a nice tweet out saying, you know, absolutely gutted they didn't make the playoffs, but, you know, thanks to everybody.
Yeah.
Like really nice. Kobus Reinach.
You are obsessed.
He's a great player, but this is brilliant. Knocked off, pissed off, written off, fast forward playoffs, # woke up with a semi.
Oh, I like that. Clever. I like it.
Oh, absolutely brilliant. Oh,
he looked like he was going to go off injured about 5 or 6 times yesterday, but he literally runs it off every time. So I don't know if that makes him like a wetty or like nails, but it's definitely one or the other. There's no middle ground there.
He's part of the nominated players of the season.
Is he?
Yeah.
What, so players player or?
No. The Gallagher Premiership players.
Okay.
There's...
Sips has got to take that home, surely.
Well, yeah. Faf de Klerk's in
there. I'm Sips
Matt
all
Kvesic,
the way. Matt Kvesic. Baby on the way, Matt. Matt and Felicity. Congratulations to them. They've got a little babber on the way.
Oh, congratulations. But yeah, Kobus, that hashtag is unbelievable.
Do you think he should get the award purely for the hashtag?
Yeah, I think so.
Solid, solid work there. I know you wanted to talk about Bristol and their season, and
yeah, I just think that everything that they have done this year has epitomised the importance of believing in who you are and what you're about. And Pat Lam is, you know, renowned across the globe with how he sees rugby and the culture and what, you know, the community, and when he talks, you want to listen. And he's got a great, great vision for Bristol, because it's about bringing the communities together through the success of rugby. And did a really great interview on BT Sport the other day. It's on their Twitter. Just talking about why he did what he did and what he did. And I just think that as a South West girl, having played for Bristol for years, seeing the brand of rugby that they play and the atmosphere and how things have gone for Bristol this year is just brilliant. And they've been themselves, they've recruited well. It'll be interesting to see whether they bring anything. And actually, BT Sports, Sarah Elgin brought up that, oh no, I think it was Ugo had mentioned to Ellis Genge, would he go back to Bristol? Because he's Bristol born and bred. And he said yes, because that's where his families are. So like live on TV, they're asking Pat Lam to recruit him.
But I like Ellis's honesty in that like situation as well, to say, yes, I would. One thing I have to say about Bristol, having done last year when they were in the, or no, year before last, I guess, now when they were in the championship, I was still at Sky and I was a pitchside reporter for a lot of those games. And I interviewed Steve Lansdowne on one of those occasions. And I do think that whilst Pat Lam's attitude to the game is definitely responsible for a lot of it, the Lansdowne group and what they're doing for sport in Bristol is huge. And the financing and the buy-in, and just looking at what they've done at Ashton Gate, looking at the way the rebrand, when that happened, there were so many raised eyebrows. I love it. Bristol Bears feels like a club for the future. Everything looks modern. Their attitude to the game looks modern. Their recruitment of players from all around, you know, it was great to see Ian Madigan come in, and he looks like he's really enjoying his rugby there. He's someone I've got a lot of time for and wasn't necessarily getting the opportunities at Leinster. Clever recruitment from Pat Lam. We obviously knew him from being in the Pro 14, Pro 12 as it was then.
Oh, sorry about that.
So. But but the when he coached Connacht to the grand final win
historic
at
information,
Murrayfield against
Laura Jane.
Leinster. But yeah, I just... You literally bring out the worst in me. That's the problem.
You show
set
off.
It up. I'm not showing off.
You are showing off. Stop showing off in
I
front
just love
of
rugby.
My family.
I love rugby. But yeah, I just think the Lansdowne group are really, and the family have done huge amounts for sport in Bristol. And actually, as somebody who comes from South Wales, where it doesn't feel like there's huge amounts of money necessarily being pumped into clubs and regions, I'm a bit jealous of it.
Can I just ask, is it right that four teams get relegated
this season in the Principality Premiership, four teams went down? It could have been
how
five.
Many how many teams are there? Eight.
12.
So basically you come top, you come bottom five, and you're in risk of relegation in a league with six teams. I mean, that's pretty brutal.
I'm actually hosting the Principality Premiership Awards tomorrow evening for WRU in Cardiff. Yeah,
you haven't told me that.
What do I wear? I don't know what to wear. I thought I might wear the dress.
Why don't you wear
Doddy dinner?
Why don't you do an Alex Good and turn up in playing kit? Stash.
Nice. I like it. One thing that I think is quite interesting.
Do you find it interesting?
Yeah. So when you go to something, you'll know this in rugby, the invite will say lounge suits, like for men. What does that mean for me? What do I wear when it says lounge suits? Or black tie. All right. What do I wear?
All right. But you want your own section? Laura Jane Jones.
No, but I just think
colon
like,
something hideously bright and flowy.
Thanks. back to the Premiership and the way the relegation works. So
unbelievable. See you never. Four teams.
So
every week?
No,
every
no,
year.
No, no,
every
no.
Week.
So
every year.
Every year. No. So there are 16 sides in the Principality Premiership and they want to get it down to 12. So 16 does sound like a lot of clubs for one league, and you can understand wanting to make it a more elite league by having 12 up there. The argument has been
for the whole of Wales.
Yes. So obviously most of them are in South Wales, and then you've got RGC, who are the North Walian team, who are in there. But yeah, it's the equivalent of the RFU Championship. Okay. It's the Welsh Premiership. Merthyr won the league. It was hotly contested between them and Cardiff all season.
Hotly contested.
Cardiff won the cup.
Right.
Merthyr won the league.
Are we going to go through every step? No,
I just want to give you a little bit of background. But the four teams that go down, so Neath went down, they had 3 points because of going into administration. Really, really sad for the Welsh All Blacks, sad for people who've been involved in that club traditionally. It's been very political, and it is sad that for that area and somewhere that has been traditionally a massive kind of heartland and stronghold of rugby, a club that have produced many Welsh internationals and British and Irish Lions over the years.
I mean, are you quite disappointed by it?
Cheers, mate. So Bargoed went down, they had 35. Keys have gone down, they had 36. Bedwas went down with 62. Now, Llanelli were 12th and they had 63. So they had one more point than Bedwas, and they had to play off against Pontypool, who had topped the league below. They
Ponty
won.
Boy?
Pontypool. Pooler. So
is there a difference?
There's Pontypridd and Pontypool. They're two different places.
Well, I know they're different places. So, I just wanted you to go, Paula.
So, Llanelli, Pontypool's on Friday evening. Llanelli won. So they stay
Well, that's
up.
Probably the right thing. If you've come...
That's what I mean. Like,
what, if you've come 12th in...
12th in a 16-team league.
And you have to play out... God.
Especially when you think as well that they... So they finished the season with 63 points. Bridgend, 66. Command,
can we go through
71.
All of them, please?
But, you know, if you look, it's not a huge difference. It's not a huge difference.
In terms of moving forward, I think by the sounds of things, it will support a more elite league.
Yeah.
And linking to the Women's Premiership, there's a lot of chat about how we've got 10 teams in Tyrrells and how there are a massive divide between the top teams and the bottom teams. And there is. But we need that geographical split.
But the one thing with the Tyrrells is because it's a commercial league as well, it's a bit like Super League, rugby league, that you can give and retract contracts for the league. So at the end of the current deal, which is next season, if teams aren't performing, it is well within the imagination realms of imagination that they will have their contract for the league taken away. And as we well know, Exeter are really keen.
They're recruiting for a head of women's rugby.
Fancy
it? I think in a different time in my life, maybe, to move back to the Southwest, I love it back here. You pointed out this morning, it's a lot closer to Bristol to do
the
podcast than it is London.
I could literally picture, like, even if you're an Exeter mate, like, going down Darts Farm on a Monday, bit of brunch, record the pod. I went there yesterday, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Sarah Cox and Carl Dixon, proper nose off with the refs. We actually didn't talk about referees. We talked about infernos back in the day.
Oh, of course you did.
The church, the ship on a Sunday. Great times. Great times.
So what have you got coming up? Because we haven't really spoken about much. So let's just talk about what we've got coming up and what people can look forward to over the next week or so from the pod.
Well, I'm hosting the Prem Awards tomorrow evening, which I'm really looking forward to for the WAU.
Fully stashed out.
Probably not stashed out. I'll have a dress and heels on, mate. And then next Saturday, I've got a wedding. One of my best friends from school. So that'll be fun. So no rugby for me next weekend, which means I will miss Leinster Glasgow, the Pro 14 final. And Koi has come down the stairs and there was silence on the podcast then because she had something in her mouth. Now, ordinarily, Koi comes down the stairs with either a pair of knickers or a bra in her mouth. So that silence was like, whose dirty underwear is she carrying? But it's a hot water bottle.
That's shaped like a unicorn.
Which I assume is your brother's.
And considering Sam lives here, yeah. No one else.
Weird. Anyway. Pro 14 final next weekend. I'm going for a Glasgow win.
Wow.
I know. It's in Glasgow. So awesome. Awesome for rugby in the city that the final's going to be played at Celtic Park, which... is really cool, and just leave her with it.
Sorry, I've just been wrestling with Goya silently.
Our co-producer, she's also left footprints all over Sam's floor. She didn't have her feet wiped when she came in.
Oh, so this is a freshly painted floor as well. Oh well.
I'm going Glasgow. They looked really strong against Ulster. They beat Ulster 50-20 this weekend in the semi-final. I would love to see Glasgow win for one reason. I'd love to see Hoggy get that kind of send off. Stuart Hogg has been there, man and boy. He goes to Exeter for next season.
Woohoo! A great, down to the southwest.
Great signing for Exeter, I think. Great for his family. I know that Gillian and the kids are going to love it in Devon. Awesome place to live. But I'm sure it'll be a really emotional goodbye for them. And I'd love to see him as part of a victorious side in his last game for the club.
Mm. I concur.
And it's the playoffs of the
So I will be watching that 100%. And
it is. I know that we overuse the word, but it is interesting that yesterday Exeter played Saints at Sandy Park, and that's what the game will be next Saturday now because Saints have made the playoffs.
So it's a strange one, isn't it?
Yeah, mental.
I can't see past Exeter Saris in the final.
So who are you calling for the final?
Exeter Saris.
No, to win it.
You know, having not seen Exeter perform this weekend but seeing the scoreline, I think they're going to push Saris really hard. Mako Vinopola being injured is a big loss.
Yeah,
but
massive.
Then Barrington...
Baza.
You
big mates.
Yeah. Well, I actually worked at Hartbury when he was there. Baza boy. He did an amazing job at Leinster. And the only thing I would say is that Saracens are incredible. But as a team, to perform like they did against Leinster, to have a break and to go again and then to go again. I mean, the emotional side and that. And I have no doubt they are an incredibly competitive, driven outfit. But it is hard on the
end of
a long season.
The balance in their team is unbelievable in the work hard, play hard stakes. So they went on that trip, which would have been beginning of April, because it's when we were in Hong Kong, when we saw their fancy dress, which we've given Jamie George the big ups for his kid from Up. And they are fighting on two fronts. They're looking to do the double and win the Prem as well. But they didn't hold back on the beers after the Champions Cup final. They celebrated as it should have been celebrated. You know, Alex Good gets every award this season for being, you know, European Player of the Year.
How many people are going to do that fancy dress?
Do you know what made it for me? It wasn't the full kit. It wasn't that he was still in his boots.
It was.
No, that wasn't what did it for me. It's the fact he had a bum bag on.
And his gum shield and his sock.
Yeah, but I just think it's style and, you know, utility there. And I just think, where do you put your phone in a playing kit? Nowhere. Get your bum bag out, lad. Yeah. But I just think it's really impressive that they manage that. They manage that you burn out if you don't have a release. And they clearly, Mark McCall actually sees the importance of that. So you don't feel like they're going to get to Twickenham in a fortnight and have nothing left in the tank, because they play for each other, they play for the club. You know, people can say what they like about Saracens and things that go on off the field and the finance and stuff, but as a community and as a group of men, they are very connected and they do it for each other.
Yeah, well, it's the same as Rob Baxter though, isn't it? And that's why you've got two teams that have got great camaraderie, like you say, going head to head. Yeah, and it was cool to see the Saracens women with the Saracens boys with the trophies and that type of thing. Like, looked like a really cool look. I can't remember what they called it, but what was gutting, the England players, so Poppy, Hannah, the group of girls that obviously played a massive part in the winning the Premiership, were in fitness testing with England.
Oh, grim. Well, that Marley and Fleto, because they're in recovery camp, aren't they?
Yeah, they're in the rehab unit. So, they missed it as well, I think.
Grim.
Yeah, so unfortunately, they didn't get to party too much. But Bryony was there.
Friend of the pod.
Yeah, friend of the pod, Bryony, who, just a little thank you to Bryony for sharing some of the messages she received. I don't know whether she was doing it to plug.
It was self-publicity, wasn't it?
Yeah,
let's be honest. It wasn't for our benefit, mate.
No, but she was great. A couple of weeks ago on the podcast, so look out for some up and coming guests soon.
Yeah, we next week we will be again in a different location. We are going to be in the Barbarians camp. I've got no idea who might be in that squad. I don't know.
No idea.
I think it's
being released on Tuesday.
And you've got no idea who might be in the squad.
No, I have no idea.
I'll keep my ear to the ground. If I hear anything, I'll let you know.
Yeah, can I send me a selection email? Yeah.
But yeah, we're going to be in Barbarians Camp. So the pod next week will be a bit later. It will be on Wednesday night because we will record it on Wednesday afternoon with some of those who are lucky enough to get selected for the great honour of playing for the Barbarians against England. One thing I also really want to mention, we've talked about it on social media in the past few weeks. Well done, Sky Sports, who have announced that they will be showing not just England's games, but the entire, I don't know what they're calling it, the Big Four tournament over in the States. But
Summer Series?
I don't think it is called that. It's got like a weird name. But USA, New Zealand, France and England are playing in...
And Canada. It's five.
Is it?
Yeah, it's five. Top five teams in the world going head to head.
Oh, mate.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal in terms of the turnaround of games and... how it's going to be. Yeah, no, like it'll be good. And the fact that it's going to be on TV rather than streamed means yeah. the quality of the coverage, you're obviously going to get far better. And they, the last game, England-New Zealand, is I think at 8:30 kickoff. So yeah. It'd be really good time to be able to watch it over here. So they've been clever about that because sometimes they don't take that into consideration and you lose a huge proportion of people that will watch it because it's in the middle of the night.
But I think it has to be said, it would have been easy for Sky probably to have just shown England's games. They're showing the whole tournament. That's a big deal. That, you know, you can watch any of those games across the Sky platform. And a number
of
them...
You will watch every second, right?
I probably will.
You love it.
They'll be on Sky Sports Mix, some of the games as well, which is great, which means that if you don't subscribe to Sky Sports, but you do have the Sky platform, you can still watch them because that's the free sports channel. So
really?
That's really, really positive for the women's game.
You know what? Shout out to Emily Bidewell, who runs Women's Rugby in America. She's a performance director. She's only a year older than me and doing an amazing job at building the opportunity for those girls to play top level rugby, because you know the one thing you always say about America is that they are incredible athletes, we know that, but they need to play high pressure test matches where they don't just turn up to World Cups. And
makes you realise how lucky we are here that the Six Nations exists and that European teams get the opportunity, because we're so close to our neighbours to be able to play games like that. And the work that Em's done, especially, you know, with the Barbarians last month in bringing...
Yeah, and you know, I'm sure Rob Kane, their head coach, is part of that kind of programme and looking forward. So, yeah, that will be good.
Well, Sam Waterman's just walked back in the door, so we should probably knock this on the head. We will speak to you next week from Barbarians Camp.
Ciao for now.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.